This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So, Yoko, even though you're not allowed to say too much about the upcoming season, I think it's safe to deduce with you doing press today that perhaps Peggy will be around.
Or not. Maybe this is a huge trick. This is a big red herring. They're like, you have to come do press. I'm like, I'm not on the show anymore. No, I am on the show. That's my joke is, like, I can only say that I play Peggy Olson and I work in advertising. Like, that's the only thing that I can say. I can't even say, like, where I work or who I'm working with. Super boring. I like your shirt.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I want to ask you about, I know the show's called Mad Men, but yeah. I've always thought you're a character.
Let's confirm that.
I got a point. Really.
Okay.
But I've always thought your character was really one of the biggest stories about, you know, sort of what has gone on with life during that time, changes as far as workplace and women and everything. So I really felt like that's a huge story despite the it's not Mad Men and women. Mm-hmm. Could you just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was when we originally started the show. That was the kind of thing that people were talking about was, oh, it's called Mad Men, but it's got actually these really interesting female characters. And, you know, that's both Betty, Joan, and Peggy are really complex and layered and not stereotypes in each of their, you know, stereotypes. They're very different, and I think that that was the first kind of surprise of the show. First season was like, oh, there's really cool women on this. And for me, getting Peggy, it's been such a lucky thing because I've had, just by virtue of her age and her position and who she is, there's been such an arc for her. Because she starts out at 20, you know, she's like, I gotta be, I think last season she must have been 26 or something. And in the 60s, mm-hmm. in the workplace. And it's like with all of those elements, you just have this great, so much to play with. There's so much material there because that was when things were changing. So I think that for me to get that particular part and get that particular character was really just, has been kind of great and kind of, it's allowed me to change her. Not that it's all me, like it's the writers, but it does allow me to have, I think, a lot to do mm-hmm. with her, which has been really cool. And it keeps changing, too. Like, even season 6, I feel like, is so different than season 5 for me. Presents new challenges. I mean, normally on TV shows, you know, it's like, oh, play the same character, and I gotta go back, and the same thing, and it's like 9 years, and you're like, kill me. This is amazing. Every year is a new challenge on this show. Every year you're like, oh god, I gotta figure out how to do this again, you know?
How did you feel about who Peggy ended up with? We didn't even talk about this in terms of last season, because I was always curious about the men she dated.
Yeah, me too.
And who she would end up with, whether it would be somebody that she worked with and was like an equal with, or it'd be somebody who's completely different, which is kind of the way that they've written it. But how do you feel about who she's paired up with, at least for the moment?
I know. Well, I feel like that's true in life, though. You know, you don't know, is it better to date somebody who does what you do or not? Because there's good things and bad things about both. And so I think ultimately it's probably not about that at all. But I think that for Peggy, her problem is that she's so focused on work mm-hmm. that she's too young to understand that she's going to have to balance that. And she's going to have to figure out a way to have both. Yeah. And I think that that's a problem with women of that time as well, you know, that they hadn't quite figured that out yet. So I think that for her, it's less about who she's dating. Because they might have worked out, it might have been a great guy, but she's, you know, it's like the suitcase. She's like, I'm staying here on my birthday, and I'm not going to dinner with my whole family and my boyfriend. Right. And she makes that choice because she would rather be at work.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. She'd really rather be there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's her problem.
Last season, we saw Peggy break away from Don,
yeah.
strike out on her own, and actually reject him. but at the same time, she learned a lot from Don. About this business, and you kind of see that a little bit in the premiere, though we can't talk about that. But what did she really learn from Don that she takes into this new role?
I think that, I mean, I think that she wouldn't be able to leave and take this position without him.
Yeah.
You know, that's what she says to him in episode 11. She's like, this is exactly what you would have done.
Yeah.
You wanted me to do this. Like, this is what you've trained me for, you know? And I think that it's so hard to fucking talk. about it. So it's really like, you think you guys, it sucks for you guys. You know, it's like, it's not so fun over here either. I think that, like, Dawn is her idea of what a boss is. So obviously she's learned how to be a boss from him. But I think that, and I think she kind of tries her hand at that a little bit, but ultimately she's still Peggy and she's not Dawn. And what actually makes Dawn love her and respect her so much is that she's better than him. She has a heart. And I think it brings up an interesting kind of thing about female bosses and how they might be different than male bosses, especially at that time. And I think that she's going to have to learn, like every other season, how to do it her way, how to be herself, and not follow other people, specifically Dawn, you know?
Is there something that she's seen Dawn do that she would never do? Is there something that, you know, his example is a boss that she would just never...
Probably, well, I'm just about to say something that's not true.
Sleep with
her
secretary.
I know. Probably sleep with her secretaries. Yeah. Just because she's straight. See if she get a male secretary. You never know. But I don't think she has the cruel bone. You know, I think that Dawn actually has a cruel bone. And he actually can be really mean. And he can do the wrong thing. And I think that she's tough and she's hard. She's capable of yelling at people and ordering them around. I don't know if she could actually lower the boom that we have seen Dawn do, you know? And she can't, I don't think she can drink as much.
Fashion-wise, Peggy still is really kind of conservative. Is that a function of her being raised Catholic, or do you think she has a certain image of what women in business are? But I would really like to see her get more like Megan and, you know, sort of break out some of those poochie outfits.
I know, right? That'd be so cute. No, it's not going to happen. I think that she will probably dress like that in one form or another for the rest of her life. It's like my grandmother, you know, who kind of found what she loved and continued to wear it in, like, slightly better, more comfortable modern fabrics, you know? I think that's how she will be. She will always wear pantyhose, and she will consider it appropriate to wear hats and gloves. She's actually, it's funny, because as we've gone through the 60s, she used to be quite progressive. She's actually become old-fashioned, I think. She's become of a different generation now, as we get later in the 60s. And you see Megan become more, you know, obviously she's always been more fashionable. So I don't think Peggy will, I don't think she'll ever go there. Like, I don't think her hair is going to change that much. I don't think that's who she is now.
Is that part of her asserting her authority in a man's world a little bit?
I'm sure. Absolutely. Because I feel like that's something that women,
go ahead.
Went down.
I got back up.
Oh, nice. Good job.
Comes prepared.
Damn. Look at that. Look at he's like, foo, foo, foo. And we're back. Great. I think, absolutely. I feel like women still deal with that today, dressing appropriately for the office, you know? And it's by choice. You know, you don't want to sexualize yourself too much. You want to be respected. So I think it still happens. I mean, you want to be taken seriously, and there's certain things in our culture, if you do or if you wear, you won't be taken seriously. So absolutely, I think that she, from the very beginning of the show, does not want to be seen as a woman, just wants to be seen as a great copywriter.
Can I go back real quick? You talked about her wanting to be at work.
Yeah.
Do you think, when you play her, is that part, do you play it that she just loves the job, or that she knows she has to work harder because she's a woman?
That's a good question. I think both, probably. I think that she loves the job, and that's what started her out, was that passion for what she did, and the fact that she was kind of really good at it, when she discovered that she was good at it, which was sort of by accident. And then she really liked it, and then realized, oh my God, I have to work 3 times as hard as the men do. And now she's kind of in a place, I feel like, where it's not battling that as much. I don't think she's battling the male sex as much. You know, I don't think she's not being objectified as much, and she's not she's her own person, and I think she doesn't feel that, but also she's made it that way by not presenting herself that way, you know, and having control over that. So, yeah, I think that her love of her work is what started her out, and then she realized she had to work really hard.
At the end of last season, when you're quitting, did Matthew pull you aside and say, hey, you're quitting, but you're not going away? Or were you the one who said, hey, Matthew, I'm quitting. Am I going away?
It's funny. He called me, and it was before the episode 11 script came out, and he told me the whole thing, which was quite similar to first season. The first season, he called me into his office before we started and was like, blah, 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 all this stuff's going to happen, and then you're going to have a baby. And I was like, oh. And this time he called me, and he's like, all this stuff's going to happen, and then this is how it's going to happen, and you're going to leave. And I literally was like, that sounds amazing. Am I still on the show? And he was, like, actually a little bit offended, and he was like, yeah, of course you don't be. Yes. And I was like, well, it's a logical question. And then he was like, no, it's fine. You're totally, of course. And and for me, I just felt like, and for him as well, what else was she going to do? And that's the beauty of this show, is it's not afraid to take that risk. You know, it's not afraid to kind of give the audience a little bit of maybe to what they don't want. But that's what would have happened. She would have gone to another agency. It's very common in advertising for people to flip around and go to different places. And it made so much sense. And when I went back and looked at all this, you know, looked back in my head at all the scripts before, I was like, oh my God, it's where it's been going the whole time. I didn't see it, you know, but we'd been building up to it since the first episode when she watches Megan dance to Zuby Zoo. And it's if she looks at her and sees this woman embracing her life and being her own person and how much Dawn loves that, you know, and respects her for it and admires it. I think that's where the seed is planted.
Do you worry, in the way that the show has expanded from the first season, you know, like with Dawn and Betty breaking up, and then other and the office moving, and now with you moving on, the show is still centered at Sterling Cooper, Draper Price. Mm-hmm. Is there any worry about like how much screen time am I going to get, or
yeah,
like that?
I was actually at first, to be honest, I totally was. I was personally kind of sad because I was like, oh, I love those guys, and that's who I've grew up with, and I always work with those boys, and so I was a little like, well, and then obviously John and that whole thing was really hard, but you know, I think the only thing I can say is like that I'm very happy with where it's gone. I'm very happy with what's happened, and I was actually pleasantly surprised. I think I'm allowed to say I'm pleasantly surprised by how much I have had to do in the season. I was kind of expecting maybe not to be in it so much, you know, because I thought, oh, I'm at a different agency, you know. So who knows? And I'm pleasantly surprised.
Hence the reason you're at the junket.
Hence the reason I've been invited today to fool you all.
Does anyone have one last question?
Top of the Lake starts Monday.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I'd love to. I could talk about that.
No spoilers.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, there totally are spoilers, but it's okay. yeah, I'm really excited. I've seen all of it, obviously. And I'm, you know, it's so cheesy to say, of course I'm going to say this. I'm not going to be like, it sucks, but I'm proud of it. I really am. And we did it for no money, and we did it in New Zealand, and it was hard and crazy and 82-day shoot. And I worked 65 out of those 82 days, and it was very intense work. And so I'm really proud of it. And I think that I like that, you know, the first couple of episodes are, I feel like, going sort of in this one direction. And then I feel like episode 3, I don't know, some people have seen all 3 of them, some people have only seen 2, but when you get to episode 3, I feel like it kind of dives down the rabbit hole and goes in a kind of different direction, and you're a little like, Jesus, what the fuck is this? And then kind of continues from there on this sort of wild journey. So it's very not formulaic. It's a fantasy, you know, which was important to Jane. It's not real. It's a fantasy land, you know? So I like that. Yeah.
And that will be then just a one-off miniseries. There's no chance to...
I think so. I've heard Jane say both things, to be honest. I've heard her say maybe, and I've heard her say no. So, I don't know. I think one-off. I would put money on one-off.
Okay.
You know, I feel like it's... That's the beauty of it. you know, it's like a long movie,
right.
You know. But I guess you never know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dressed, you know.
Monique Lhuillier.
I love it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. It's got makeup on it, though. Oh,
thank you. I know. You'll figure out how to take it.
Yeah, it's okay.
It'll be interesting to, next season to talk about this season.
Yeah.